A sinful woman forgiven. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with the ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this? Who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
Have you ever called a friend to invite them over to a party? And when you call them, maybe it's a barbecue, and you call them, and the friend asks, "Who else is coming?" Like they're saying, it's not worthwhile coming if it's just you. The deciding factor is who's going to be at the party. And Luke 7:36-50 is about a party at a strict religious guy's house. Who do we have at this party? We have Simon the Pharisee. He's the host, which means he's a teacher of God's law. He's a strict upholder of God's law. Then we have Jesus, who Simon has invited. Jesus has already caused a stir in the district with his teaching, so he's been invited by Simon. Then we have this party crasher, who has a reputation as a sinner, plus a group of other people at the party that we see later on looking. And it seems the people are coming to the party because Jesus is there. They have come to hear what Jesus has to say. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here because you want to hear what Jesus has to say. You've come to hear what he has to teach you. This party could be the script of your life today. Two people encountered Jesus with two different results. One discovers forgiveness in Jesus, and the other remains a religious hypocrite. One gives honour to him, the other doesn't give him honour. And it was very common for religious people, well-off religious people, to invite special guests, to have a banquet, to have a party over at their place. They would give honour to this special guest. He was maybe a visiting speaker or preacher or someone who they thought might be a prophet. And they would invite them around and get them to come around and sit at the banquet table. And obviously Jesus was someone who made people curious. Is he really a prophet? And it's interesting because Simon is a Pharisee, and normally the Pharisees are quite hostile to Jesus. You know, in Luke 5 they criticise him for eating with sinners. And then Luke 6 they attack him for healing someone on the Sabbath. So it seems quite different with Simon. He's a different sort of Pharisee. He's maybe a bit of a curious Pharisee. Or maybe he's just someone who wants to trap Jesus. Wants to get him into a theological quiz and see if he can beat him. Or maybe he's just curious to see if he really is the Messiah, the one that Israel has waited for. So maybe it could be one of these possibilities, or maybe it could be something else. But while they're at the party, whilst they're eating and drinking, a sinner enters the house. Today I want to look at 3 points this passage teaches us. Firstly, that God welcomes sinners who repent, regardless of how bad their sin may seem. Secondly, the more you understand God's forgiveness, the greater your worship will be. And thirdly, God challenges us to examine our hearts and motives in how we respond and love Jesus. So let's look at the first point. God welcomes repentant sinners. Do you like the terminology? Sinner. Could you imagine having that label on you today? Roger the sinner. Could you imagine that? Sinner. Simon gets a name, but the woman gets called sinner. And she's apparently a woman of the city. And look, most commentaries or most theologians believe that she was most likely a prostitute, a sex worker. It seems to have that indication about it. Maybe Luke's being polite. I actually wondered, I thought, I wonder if this woman, as Luke wrote it later on, was actually in the early church. She could have been. Maybe he was being polite. And I think even today, 2,000 years later, we still look down on prostitutes culturally, not just within the church, culturally. You know, we still think they're, you know, outside the church, there's an immoral aspect to their lifestyle, their career. And I think that's true. And if you don't think that's true, if you don't think you look down on prostitutes even culturally, you know, maybe invite one to your party next time. You know, if you have a barbecue, invite one over. Not if you're just one guy and single. Don't do that. Okay. Even if you're two guys and single or more. Okay. But it's not the type of person you usually have on your invite list, is it? And I'm sure if one rocked up to your party that you're having, your barbecue, the first thing you'd do is probably call the cops. You wouldn't want this person around. And I remember sitting at a dining table with a young lady who was previously involved in sexual favours. And it felt weird. It felt weird. It took effort for me to get over my religious cultural conditioning. It took effort. It took effort just to hold her hand. There was other people there. I say Roger and Helen were there. We have witnesses. It took effort for me just to hold her hand and give thanks. It felt weird. It felt weird. She was a young girl struggling with her past, trying to find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And to me, it felt weird. And I think there could be many prostitutes out there that are in the trade because they found themselves in difficult situations, difficult circumstances, maybe through drug addictions, poor decisions they're stuck with. Who will redeem them? Maybe this woman in Luke 7 is such a victim. She needs love, forgiveness, and acceptance. This woman came to Jesus in difficult circumstances. Could you imagine her walking into that room? Walking into that party with all these people looking at her, all the Pharisees and different people looking at her. You sinner, what are you doing here? Imagine walking in knowing that people are murmuring about you. Have you ever walked in a room and felt the odd one out? Maybe you felt that today when you walked in here. Maybe you felt the odd one out. I hope and pray you don't. But this woman doesn't seem concerned with what other people think of her. Her only concern is to find Jesus Christ. She knows she has a problem. She knows her problem is deeper than just her prostitution. She needs forgiveness from her God. She needs a new start. And her answer is in Jesus Christ. This is the message of why Jesus came. This is his message. This is why he died and rose again. This is the Easter message. God came to redeem sinners. All kinds of sinners, from prostitutes to pastors. All kinds of sinners. And he calls them all to repent and trust in Jesus. As Jesus is the only one who can redeem them. He's the only one who can take sin away. That's the message of Christianity. That's why we're here today. Jesus took our sin upon himself on the cross. And why is this message important for you and me? Because it points us to our God who loves sinners of all kinds, who calls all people to repentance and faith in him. God welcomes repentant sinners like this prostitute. And the second point from Luke 7, 36 to 50, is that the more we understand God's forgiveness, the greater your worship will be. We see that in this passage. Jesus' parable of the moneylenders highlights this fact. The one who owes more loves more when the bigger debt is clear. Simon didn't get this. Simon didn't get it. He didn't think he owed God anything, or very little. Certainly he understood culturally that he was a sinner, even as a Pharisee. He would have had some limited understanding of that. But he wasn't like that prostitute. He wasn't like that sinner. He was still a sinner, yet not as bad as her. And we see here that Simon wants Jesus at the party. He wants Jesus around him. But he doesn't think he needs Jesus. It's like he invites him, comes him over to give him a quiz. But he doesn't believe he needs forgiveness. And he doesn't have a love and desire to worship Jesus. And I think many people can be around Jesus and want Jesus around them and want Jesus in the party of their life, their life's party, but don't want to worship him, don't want to love him. They have a desire not to worship him. And like Simon, we don't understand why Jesus came when we think like that. If we did, we would honour and love him. We would plead mercy and forgiveness to him and find love and grace from him. In Jesus' parable, starting at verse 41, he talks about the type of currency that they used in their day, denarii. Now, to give you the idea, one denarii equals a day's wages. So the one debt cancelled is 500 days' wages, and the other debt cancelled is 50 days' wages. That's a big debt. Big debt. I mean, to be cancelled is pure grace. Both had a debt problem. That's the key. Both had a debt problem. And you can see how this parable makes sense to Simon, the Pharisee, and the prostitute. Both needed a clear slate. Both owed the lender, God, debt. But Simon overlooked his need to honour Christ, whom he needed to deal with his sin and debt in his life. You see, you and I do that. We make ourselves feel better by looking at other people. We actually, like Simon, we tend to look at other people's sins and not look at our own. We look at them and overlook ourselves. But Jesus tells Simon, you need a reality check. Like Simon, you may seem less sinful than other people, yet you're still sinful on the inside. Both Simon and the prostitute needed Jesus. And I think it's really fascinating when you think of this whole story, this whole historical account. Simon criticizes and condemns the prostitute in the way she expresses worship. He criticizes Jesus for not correcting the situation. Yet at the same time, Simon fails to give Jesus honor and glory. So Simon attacks the woman for displaying affection, based on his own assumptions, based on his own cultural understanding, yet he fails to do anything. That's part of the passage. He doesn't do anything. So he's saying, oh, how dare she do that? How dare she do that? But he did nothing. Congratulations. I think there's many people that have Jesus around, like I said, but don't honour him and worship him. And I think there's many people who like criticising other people who are worshipping Jesus. And they criticise them because they probably don't live up to what their ideas and standards are of what a Christian should be. And they don't see their own need for forgiveness, as this woman did. The more you know you have been forgiven, the more you'll worship your Lord. And thirdly, in the final point, which actually has some similarities to the last one, it was hard to break them down. God challenges us to examine our own hearts and motives, which we just touched on a little. Simon saw everyone else's problems but his own. He saw everyone else as a worse sinner rather than take God seriously and look at himself before God. He judged the woman, he judged Jesus, and he mastered that all well, but he didn't examine himself. And that's the most important starting point for each one of us today. And it's interesting because you think about this passage, and Simon was disgusted in the way the prostitute gave honour and worshipped Jesus. You see, in their culture, it's improper to touch a man. It's improper. I mean, if it was your husband, it'd be okay, but not just any man. And to anoint him and to do all that, that's horrible. You know, the Pharisees have added a lot of things in there. How dare she use perfume? And I think we overlooked this ointment. You see, a prostitute used the perfume to seduce men. Do you get the picture? The thing that she used to seduce men, she was using on Jesus. Because couldn't explain anywhere else why she would have perfume, apart from to seduce men. That's what they did. That was part of their tricks, their trade, to allure unsuspecting men. Shame on her, says Simon. And he thinks to himself, surely Jesus, if you are a prophet, if you're a man of God, you would know exactly what she's doing. And you would rebuke her and order her to leave immediately. Get away from me. Go back to your hole, sinner. Get your filthy, stinking hands off me. That would be the response that Simon would have expected from a righteous man. But she uses her perfume to give honour and thanks to Jesus. And that perfume was used to promote wickedness before. Yet Jesus allows her to anoint his feet. He didn't stop her. He didn't say, I have a theological issue with this, and I think we better stop. So don't miss this. This is important. I want you to think about that for a moment. I want you to think about how light is our theology when we think that an electric guitar is an offence to God in Christian music. How light is it? How light is it if we think that having an FFOS machine in a church is an offence to God? How light is it? Think of the magnitude of this. The perfume of a prostitute being used on Jesus, and we would worry about such mundane things. Jesus accepts this sex worker's perfume being anointed on his feet. He doesn't correct her. The perfume is not polluted. There's no sin in the perfume. Just like food, this is what the early church struggled with. Because they had unclean food, the Jewish people and clean food. And they struggled with this. And here we see them struggling once again. And Jesus bringing a new perspective on it. I thought about this and I thought, imagine if someone like the heavy metal rock legend Alice Cooper was up the front here, turned around by Jesus Christ, following Jesus, and he came up here, played his electric guitar, played a lovely praise song to God, the same guitar he used in his rock concert many years ago, and he's playing it now to sing praises to God, and the conservative Christian sits there and goes, oh, he shouldn't be using that guitar. Oh, look at all those tats. Oh, he's such a hideous-looking man. And he is. But yet they overlook the fact that he loves his Lord and he's worshipping his Lord. Overlooks it. Just like Simon did. And think about her hair being used. It would have been so demeaning for her to use her hair. I mean, if anyone today did that, it'd be demeaning. I mean, we had the you know, women lib sort of thing kicking up a stink. But Jesus didn't seem to worry. It was demeaning for her, but he accepted her worship. So as you can see, Simon had an idea of what a prophet should be, what a man of God should be. And he can't believe that Jesus is allowing this to happen. Don't you think we're the same way today? We think we have an understanding of what Jesus should be doing, and we read the scriptures, and we're more concerned sometimes at what other people are doing than what we're doing ourselves. We throw stones at everyone else but forget to look at ourselves. Simon had criticised the woman for doing the wrong thing. He criticised Jesus for not knowing how to act around a sinner. And yet Simon had forgotten his responsibility. He had invited Jesus as a guest, and he didn't pay him honour or didn't pay him respect. He didn't wash his feet. That was a custom. He didn't do anything. He didn't anoint him with oil. That's what Jesus said. You didn't do nothing. This was the expected treatment of a guest, and he did nothing. He didn't do anything to honour Jesus who he'd invited. And all he did was criticise everything. Jesus is saying to Simon, you criticise her methods, yet you don't do anything at all to honour me. She honoured me with perfume and tears, which to you was a dishonour. Yet you overlooked your responsibility to honour me. You overlooked it. You hypocrite. That's what he's saying. You hypocrite. And how many times have you heard? How many times have you heard people say, he's a Christian and he did that? Have a look at yourself and see what you're doing. That's what Jesus is saying in his parable. It's easy for us to overlook our problems, our sins, and focus on someone else. It's easy to find other people's faults. Congratulations, that makes you observant, but not righteous. That's what Jesus is saying. So let's have a look at this. In Luke 7:36, Jesus teaches us that God forgives all kinds of sinners. He teaches you and me that we can be too quick to point out someone else's sin, who in our opinion is a worse sinner than us, whilst overlooking similar sins in our own life that are already active, that are already happening. Jesus teaches us that someone who thinks they are quite righteous might be far from it. And Jesus teaches us that all people sin and need to turn from sinners to worshippers of our God. This passage, we see two people encounter Jesus. Both were challenged by Jesus. One looked on while the other worshipped. One was offended, whereas the other was forgiven. Which one are you? Where are you in this passage? How is Jesus speaking to you today from his words? How has Jesus challenged you? Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that we can find forgiveness through you. Lord, from prostitute to pastor to whoever, Lord, we can be redeemed by you, by your Spirit working in us, Lord, by your Spirit convicting us of sin. Lord, we come to you and we realise that we are unworthy to even be a slave to you. And Lord, we are overwhelmed by the forgiveness that you have given us. Lord, we pray that we understand this, Lord. We pray that we can worship you in a way that understands that, Lord. I pray that our worship is in glory and honour to you. Lord, we pray that as people leave here today, Lord, they will be challenged by what you have spoken. We ask that in your name. Amen. I hope your Good Friday is a blessed time, and please stay around for a cuppa, and we'd love to have a bit of fellowship. God bless.